So, folks, I have been with Basil and Stephen in Limerick for 3 days, you know, and some of the sermons written on a bit of paper here. Look at that. It's a new invention from Apple. So it's good. Have you got a wee presentation for me, Tom? You might not, do you?
Oh, good. Oh, beautiful. Well done.
So all we're going to do again, folks, is just have a wee look at the book, you know, look at the letter to the Galatians, and see what God would want to say to us from it. It's just a brilliant, brilliant book. And I mean, for anyone who wasn't here last week, we were talking a little bit about how, you know, when Paul planted this church in Galatia, you know, it was a great church because there were a bunch of pagans who had been saved by Jesus and they knew it. And you know, when I hear about churches like that, I'm reminded of, I have a friend who works in a place called the Liberties in Dublin. It's called Liberty Community Church. And that is a bunch of flats in Dublin where it's pretty tough. And this guy, Noel, became a Christian in the Liberties. And he started a church right where he lived. And I mean, it's an incredible place. I mean, they would have baptisms where people would bring, you know, a bag of cannabis, and they would leave it at the bottom of the waters of baptism, and they would say, that's not me anymore. I'm living a new way. This is their way of doing it. They put down their bottles of vodka into the bottom of the baptismal tank, and they say, I don't want to do that anymore. You know, I want to be free of that. And the beautiful thing when you have churches like that, you know, is they're just, all they talk about is Jesus. They talk about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And all the glories to him. There's nobody saying, you know, I do a bunch of really good things. They're saying, here, my cannabis is in the bottom of that baptismal tank. My vodka bottles are in the bottom of that baptismal tank. That's what it's about. And it's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And that's the way these churches started. They just believed that the cross had changed their whole lives. And it was Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But at some stage, they got a little bit religious. Somebody came in with a different message. And they started to believe that, yeah, Jesus is great, but you've got to live in a certain kind of way. You've got to dress in a certain kind of way. You've got to eat in a certain kind of way. And the rules and regulations started to grow up around it. And this letter is really calling people back to saying, hold on a second, it's about Jesus. He's the only one who can save you. He is grace. He's grace, he's grace, he's grace. And one of the things that I shared last week as well, which I think is just so important for us as a church to realize at this time, is that so many of us, we've stopped at the cross. We've stopped at this idea of forgiveness of sins. And we've thought that this is all that matters. So when somebody gives their testimony, they'll say, 30 years ago, here's how I came to the cross. 30 years ago, here's how I became a Christian. And they forget that the New Testament essentially describes the cross not as the destination of the Christian life, but as the doorway into a Christian life. You know, that when you pass by this cross, that you're meant to enter into this wide open space where anything is possible, where you are free. And that's what Paul is contending for, the freedom of the Christian life. And I shared one of the saddest experiences I've ever had of hearing somebody give their testimony. And it was down in County Monaghan when one night a girl got up to give their testimony right before I spoke, and she said, and this was a testimony given, thanks for the freedom we have in Jesus. And she says, every time I look at my arms and see my tattoos, I hate myself. And I thought, that is not a very good testimony. That Jesus brings you into a place where you hate yourself. Of course he doesn't. He brings you through the doorway into a wide open space. And that is a beautiful place of freedom. It's a beautiful place of freedom where we don't serve Jesus to become Christians. We serve Jesus because we're Christians and we love him so much that we just want to live for him. Has anybody seen the film Saving Private Ryan? Put up your hand if you've seen Saving Private Ryan. All right. Well, that's not a Christian film, so you folks can get out right now, all right? It's just a disgrace. So Saving Private Ryan is a story of a young, I think a young man gets lost somewhere in Normandy, isn't that right? And eight soldiers are sent out to try and find Private Ryan. And as they wander through this dangerous countryside, they start to question why their lives are being risked for one man. And one of the guys leading the troop, Captain John Miller, he says, "This Ryan better be worth it. He better be going to do something important with his life. He better become a doctor and cure some disease or invent a longer-lasting light bulb or something." Do you get the idea? We're risking our life for this guy. He better be going to do something with it. He better do something significant. And you know, folks, there's no way that we could ever earn what Jesus has done for us on the cross. There's no way we could ever earn it. But if we really believe that God died on this tree for us, okay, if we really believe that, wouldn't it be a tragedy if we didn't fully enter into this new life that he's brought us? Wouldn't it be? If he has opened up for us the riches of heaven and the beauty of grace, wouldn't it be a tragedy if we came to the cross and didn't use it? I mean, imagine how you would feel, you know, if you gave somebody, you know, your last £10 note, and it was the last one you had, and, you know, they blew their nose with it. You know, that would be a tragedy, wouldn't it? God has given us everything. Are we living in the fullness of that? And that's essentially what the book of Galatians is saying. It says there in verse 11, "I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached to you is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ." What Paul is saying here is he's saying, this freedom that you now have, it's not an idea that I had. It's not an idea that was formed when I was in conversation with the apostles or anybody else. It's not an idea. It's not a brand new idea or an old idea. It's an idea that's come from God. Now, you are crazy if you are going to turn away from God's idea, which is free grace, which is life in a wide open space, and you're going to turn back to thinking, but you've got to do this, and you've got to do that, and you've got to do the other. He says he's astonished that they're turning away from this, because this is incredible freedom that God thought up. Why would we ever turn away from it? So folks, we're going to think about this freedom a little bit this morning. And here's the first idea. We are free to become ourselves. We are now free to become ourselves. I know that doesn't make any sense, but I'll try and explain it. We are now free to become ourselves. You see, I think there's something, it's a really beautiful picture, that there's a point in the crucifixion where they stick a spear into Jesus' side. We know this. And what comes out of Jesus? Blood and water. And I remember years ago, just as I was thinking about the cross and thinking about what Jesus had done for me, and I was just thinking about those images of what comes out of Jesus' body. Now, there are biological reasons for that. That proves that he was dead. But also, I think there's something really beautiful in that. Because blood is in, if you read through the Bible, blood generally refers to forgiveness, doesn't it? So that in the Old Testament, they killed a wee lamb and all that sort of stuff to basically pray that their sin would be paid for. So it really talks about forgiveness, doesn't it? And that's one of the most beautiful things. And I can say I come back to the cross again and again and again for forgiveness. It's so important. And I hope there are people in our church that really feel forgiven by Jesus Christ, that we really are free in that way, that the things that we have done have been taken away from us. There's a wee picture in the story, The Pilgrim's Progress, where a guy's he's trying to drag himself up. Have we read that, Pilgrim's Progress? He's trying to drag himself up Calvary's mountain to try and earn his salvation, and he's carrying this big, heavy backpack full of rocks and all that sort of stuff. And the story tells us that when he gets to the top and he looks at the cross, that the two straps on his backpack snap and the backpack rolls down the hill into the empty tomb. You know, I hope you guys feel free. And if you don't feel free of the wrong things that you have done, that could be sorted right away. We could pray and we can ask the Lord to take that from you. That's one of the things we get, because blood comes forth from Jesus' side. But there's something else comes, water. And what do you think water represents in the Bible? Sorry? Grace. Yeah? What? Life. Who said that? Great answer. Fantastic. Life. Church warden, £10. Life. Life, that's what it represents. And isn't it sad? When we have come to the cross and all we have wanted was blood. That's all. I mean, seriously. Sometimes I listen to people who are preaching in Lisburn and I think, yeah, I hear about the blood. That's great. What about the life? What about the life? You know, we get life. We don't look at our tattoos and say, oh, I hate myself. We look and we say, thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Now what do you want me to do? Now what do you want me to do? Blood is forgiveness, but water is life. Think about it. Have you got both? Have you come to Jesus for both water and life? And Paul goes on to give his testimony, and his testimony speaks about the sort of guy that he was. And it says this: you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. Folks, have you become yourself? Because that's one of the things we get at the cross. You know, Paul says here that right from his mother's womb, God had a plan for him. I think that's incredible. From his mother's womb, God had a plan for him. And this is, I believe, a real reality we need to be aware of. God has a plan for every single one of our lives. God has a version of ourselves that he wants us to become. That is a preaching, healing, delivering, like Jesus sort of person. He's had that from your mother's womb, and he desperately wants you to enter into that identity. He really does. And part of entering into that identity is becoming forgiven. But a much bigger part of entering into that identity is the life of the Spirit that he wants us to enter into, that pure freedom that he wants us to enter into. And folks, here's the beautiful thing. If you read through the Bible, and you look at various characters throughout the Bible, you see what life outside of the Lordship of Christ looks and what life inside of the Lordship of Christ looks like. What do I mean by that? Well, here's what I kind of mean. You think about the character of Peter, who we're going to look at tonight. Now, if you were thinking about what Peter was like, one of the things he was famous for was he spoke too quickly. Like, he just sort of blurted out the first thing that came into his head. I also have that disease, okay? He blurted the first thing that comes out in his head, and he spoke too quickly. And outside of the Lordship of Christ, that got him into so much trouble. So much trouble. He said idiotic things all the time. Anyone here say idiotic things all the time? Oh, people are actually admitting that. I did not expect that. Okay, say idiotic things all the time. That's outside of the Lordship of Christ. Now, when he entered into a new life in Christ, he didn't become perfect. But he became a man who was great with his words. He preached one day, 3,000 people became Christians. I have never got to 3,000 yet. All right? 3,000 people. This guy was terrible with his language and his words. And under the Lordship of Christ, God takes his words and does something beautiful with them. You know, Peter was even quick with a sword. He chopped off the ear, do you remember? Of the soldier trying to arrest Jesus. You know, you read the book of 1 Peter. Under the Lordship of Christ, he learns that, you know, it's possible to love those who persecute you and not revile in return. When someone punches you, don't punch them back. Under the Lordship of Christ, it's so different and so beautiful. And you see, even if you look at Paul here, we read,
it's really great because it says this, that he was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of his own age. All right? So God, the beautiful thing is God saved him, and that wasn't wasted. Like, he knew the first five books of the Bible off by heart as this guy was advancing in Judaism. He was a top student in Judaism. And that wasn't wasted when he entered into the kingdom of God. Under the lordship of Christ, God used that in a beautiful way. But he also had some flaws. And it says here he was extremely zealous. But he wasn't zealous for the Bible. He was zealous for the traditions of his fathers. It tells us earlier that he was trying to please men. So he was a people pleaser. He was a real people pleaser. Outside of the lordship of Christ, he was trying to please people. But inside the lordship of Christ, he was trying to please men. He wasn't trying to please men and women. He was trying to please God. And folks, here's the question. Have you entered into the freedom of becoming who God wants you to be? You know, there might be somebody here that has incredible charisma. All right. I'm trying to find them. They're here definitely somewhere. No, there might be someone who's incredible charisma. All right. Beautiful charisma. And outside of the lordship of Christ, this is just my wee simple way of thinking about it. Outside of the lordship of Christ, they could be a truly unbelievable flirt. All right? Do you understand what I mean? If you have unbelievable natural charisma, you know, James Bond, great charisma, terrible flirt. All right? But you bring that charisma into the lordship of Christ, and some people just naturally have this. God can use it in beautiful ways to reach out to other people. Does this make sense to you? Outside of the lordship of Christ and inside of the lordship of Christ, these things can be totally amazing. We bring before God our strengths and our weaknesses. Paul brought this incredible amount of knowledge. He knew the first five books of the Bible, but he also brought this real desire to please people and to be loved. And under the lordship of Christ, God transforms all of that in beautiful ways. Have you brought everything of yourselves, your strengths and your weaknesses, your whole self, under grace, under the freedom of grace? I love what it says in verse 15, and you would really need to think this through for ages, but we don't have time this morning. It says this, "But when God who set me apart from birth," so just be aware of that, folks. You were set apart from birth. God formed you and made you with a particular role in life set aside for you. God set Paul aside from birth. All your strengths and weaknesses, the things you love about yourself and the things you hate about yourself, God wants it all. He set you apart from birth, and he called you by his grace. Now, he set you aside from birth, and he's been calling you ever since. Have you responded to his grace? Have you responded to his grace? Paul resisted this grace for a long time. He really did. And he kept on trying to please people and trying to advance in Judaism. He rejected this grace for a long time. Have you accepted the grace and entered into the forgiveness, but also the life that comes from the cross? Have you entered into that grace and accepted that grace? And folks, what I love about it is, here's a reminder that we don't earn grace. Because when was Paul chosen? In his mother's womb. All right. So I don't know, was he behaving really well in his mother's womb? Was he showing some great potential in his mother's womb? You know, was he doing some good works in his mother's womb? No. We just get chosen because God loves us and he wants to choose us. He's chosen from his mother's womb. He's called by grace. And here's what it says. God was pleased to reveal his son in me. And that's what God wants to do in you. That's the version of yourself that God wants you to enter into in freedom. He wants you to become somebody who he can reveal his son in. I wonder, is that you? Is God revealing his son in you? That's the message. Chosen not because you're great, because God's great, from your mother's womb. Called by grace. Have you accepted that calling of grace? And thirdly, what he wants to do, the best version of yourself, is a version that reveals Jesus. He's pleased to reveal his son in you. Now here's the second idea, and these will be a bit quicker.
But we have now freedom not just to become ourselves, the blood and water, the forgiveness and the life, but we also have the freedom to apply our freedom. We have freedom to apply our freedom. Has anyone been to Uganda here? Anyone been to Uganda? I was in Uganda. Yes, Sticky Bar has definitely been to Uganda. I was in Uganda with a team in 2005. And I saw one of the most heartbreaking, but also one of the most beautiful things that I've ever seen. There was a mother that we met just on our travels, and she had had a very disabled son. And her husband left her, because what is the cultural norm in the particular area I was in, if you have a disabled child, is to reject it or else to treat it like an animal. Okay? It wouldn't be unknown for a disabled child to be tied to a tree in that particular area that I had visited. And this wee woman had done something incredibly beautiful. Her husband had rejected her because she refused to do that. And she wanted to love her child like the beautiful child chosen from the womb, called by grace, that God wanted to reveal his son in, that he was. And she loved him. And as I say, her husband left her and she was in a really difficult position. And some missionaries had come at one particular stage and they'd given her a beautiful gift. It was a wheelchair for her son. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful gift. It was grace to this lady. But we were now here, I think about 5 or 6 years later. And this wee boy had grown far beyond the size of the wheelchair. And now he was gathered up in this tiny wheelchair in the most uncomfortable way you've ever seen. And his mother said, she said, you know, when we had a translator helping us with, she said, you know, we need a new wheelchair. We need a new wheelchair because my son is getting all these pains in his joints because he's gathered up in this wheelchair that's far too small for him. We need a new wheelchair. And it was heartbreaking to see it. But it was beautiful because a guy that was with me, and he was a doctor, he went over to the wheelchair and he pulled a wee lever and the wheelchair just went. And the poor lady hadn't realized that wheelchair was big enough. It was adjustable. It was big enough for her son for his whole life. Isn't that heartbreaking but beautiful? And she rejoiced, not because we'd given her something new, but because she finally realized how beautiful what she had originally been given was. Folks, do you know what? We have come to the cross, many of us, and we've thought we've been forgiven for our sins, and that's great. But actually, life has been a massive struggle. And Christian life has maybe left us a little bit disappointed because we have not experienced the fullness of God. Well, folks, here's what we need to do. We need to realize that there's not just blood at the cross. There's water, too. There's not just forgiveness. There's life. Life in all its fullness. And if we start to realize that wide open space that we're in, if we start to realize what God has for us, we will flourish in his kingdom. I love what Paul does in this part of the passage. It's really weird, really, because he's talking about basically, you know, realize what you've got in Jesus. You know, don't give up on my message that I first gave to you. It was given to me by Jesus. And then he starts to tell us his travel history. And he tells us that after he became a Christian, he went on a wee journey. And if you just read from about verse 17, it says this. It says, I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went immediately to Arabia, later to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter. I stayed with him for 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, and I assure you that this is no lie. Later, I went to Syria and Cilicia. Now, isn't that really weird? Like, imagine you were having a conversation with someone, and they went, here, I've been to Thailand. Did I ever tell you I've been to Thailand? And then I've also been to New York. You know, why is he telling his travel history here? Well, I think there's a reason for it. He tells us he's been to 4 places. He's been to Arabia, Damascus, Jerusalem, and a wee region, Syria and Cilicia. Well, a big region, Syria and Cilicia. And why does he tell us this? Why does he tell us that he's went to four places? Well, here's the reason. He went to, first of all, to Arabia, all right? And that was a time when Paul just had to figure out all that had been given to him by the cross. He just invested some time in what he describes in another part of the passage as a wilderness time. He took some time just to realize the freedom that he now had in Jesus. Have you taken that time, if you're a Christian? Have you given some time to God where you've just like meditated on the freedom that you have and thought about how you could apply that to your whole life? You know, the suggestion by loads of commentators is he might have visited Mount Sinai when he was in this region. And that was the place where God often met with people in the Old Testament. Are you putting time aside in your life to be with God and realize the freedom that you actually have in him? Are you putting that time aside? Because I think what happens is we become Christians, we get the blood, and that's great, we're forgiven, and then we just try and go on with our lives. And we don't realize the time in his word. We don't have to read his word to become Christians. You know, we're not going to add. All we need is Jesus. But only when we're in his word will we realize the life that we have. The incredible life that we have. And Paul took that time. He went for maybe 3 years to the wilderness. And he went up Mount Sinai maybe. And he just realized, I am free. This is beautiful. And if he'd had a tattoo, he would have looked at the tattoo and he would have said, I don't hate myself because I am now free. And God has taken my whole story. He's taken my strengths and weaknesses and now he's going to use it for his glory. And I get to be involved in that. And I don't just have blood, I've also got life. And how am I going to live this life? And that's what he spends a little bit of time doing. And then he goes to Damascus. And we can read about this in Acts chapter 9. And you see, Damascus is the place he was converted to on the road, you remember? On the way to Damascus. And people there would have known that he was now a Christian. And people there hated Paul. People hated him. Because he was meant to be going to Damascus to kill these Christians. But he went, now he's there, and he's on their side. People hated him there. And folks, part of our freedom is, after we've spent time with God, that we know that we can face our foes. Where, when we're really free, we can actually face people that hate us. And we know we have got that grace. We can be brave and courageous in front of other people. Now, Paul, when he went to Damascus, they wanted to kill him so badly, he had to be lowered down in a basket out the city walls because they wanted to murder him. All right? He's so free, so courageous because of this grace. He's so much living in that wide open space. He's not afraid to face people that hate him. Are you in that position? Because that's what he did. And then he goes to Jerusalem. And he goes to Jerusalem not to sort of collaborate and figure out what the gospel is and all that sort of stuff. He just wants to hang out with Peter. All right? I don't know why in particular it was Peter that he wanted to hang out with. And he also meets James there. But you know, he also, like in this free, this wide open space, we get to have a new family. And I wonder if we realize that in this church, that part of our freedom on the other side of this cross is we get a new family. I wonder, do you get excited about the fact that this family have brought forward Tobin and they're going to bring him up in the faith and we want to stand with them? You know, we are part of a new, beautiful family. And Paul knew that, and he loved it. And it wasn't easy, because some of the family were afraid of Paul, because he had this whole background of murdering Christians. You know, you would be a wee bit sort of standoffish with somebody that might murder you. But even though it's not easy to be in the family, he was still so excited about it. And you know, it's not always easy to be part of church, is it? You know, it can be pretty painful sometimes, and nobody's ever threatened to actually kill me in church, but there's been some relationships that needed some work. But the freedom we have is that we get to be part of a new family. I love that. I love when I went to Uganda and met a brother and a sister and many more. I love that when I went down to Limerick to General Synod, you know, there were brothers and sisters there that I could share with and be with and pray with. You know, we're part of a new family, and that's the freedom that we get. And finally, he went to Syria and Cilicia. Syria and Cilicia. And what many commentators say is that, well, it's a fact that where Paul was from is a place called Tarsus, and it was in this area. And he was so free, the other side of this cross, that he was able to go back and tell his family, hey, I'm a Christian now. Have you done that? You know, those of you that are Christians, have you chatted to your families about this stuff? Have you brought it back to your families? It's not easy, you know. Like, my mum and dad are now Christians. They were led to the Lord by the new rector of Shankill Parish, Mark Harvey. He led my mum and dad to faith. And it's, you know, but when I first became Christian, I was the only Christian apart from an aunt in Melbourne. She was no good to me whatsoever over there, all right? And you know, my mum and dad, well, especially my mum, when I didn't tidy my room, she gave me hell. She says, are you not meant to be a Christian? I'm like, well, you know, that's nothing to do with tidying my room. Jesus, never, no mention of him tidying his room. Okay? You know, and many more things worse than not tidying my room. But, you know, it's hard. There's some of us maybe have really difficult families to share this stuff with. But you know what? When you're free, you're really free. The other side of this cross, there's freedom. You can do that. You know, you can go and you're free to be with God. You can, you know, you're free that you can face people that hate you. You're free, you can be part of a new family, and you're free so you can face your biological family with this new message of Jesus. You know, it's beautiful. Here's the final thing I want to share with you. I've said we're free to become ourselves, bring everything we are into conversation with God. We're free to apply that freedom. We're free, finally, to glorify God. And if we just look at that last wee verse, it says, then I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report. Listen to this report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praised God because of me. Isn't that beautiful? They praise God because of me. If we had that experience of people praising God because of you, I just think that is amazing. You know, it reminds me of Lazarus. You know, and Lazarus, you remember he died, and Jesus went and he called out over the tomb, Lazarus, Lazarus. And Lazarus got up and he came out, and Jesus had the grave clothes cut off him. But we read in John 12, and I think it's kind of funny because Jesus starts to minister, but he's got somebody standing beside him now as he's ministering, and the person that's standing beside him was dead, and now he's standing beside him joining in. And there's no mention of Lazarus ever throughout the whole of the Bible ever saying one single word, okay? But the thing about Lazarus is, by just being alive, he was testifying to the power of Jesus. It is so difficult to argue with somebody who's standing beside somebody that they've risen from the dead. That would be so handy for me. You know, when I get up to preach here, I'll just pass over to this guy, I rose from the dead. All right? That'd be so handy. And Jesus now has a wee partner that stands next to him who is risen from the dead. And what it says is people were believing in Jesus, not only because of what Jesus said, but because of Lazarus, whom he had risen from the dead. What I love about it is the religious leaders, they had planned not only to kill Jesus, but to kill Lazarus. Lazarus must have just been like, you know, I've been there, so I've really nothing to fear. Isn't that interesting? You see, Lazarus, by just being alive, he glorified God. By just being alive, he glorified God. Do you know what, folks? You will glorify God to an extent by having your sins forgiven, and that's great. But you would glorify God so much more by being alive for him. For really going to that water and receiving that gift of life where you are free. And when you're really free, you can face God. You can face your foes. You can face your new family and you can face your old family. And that's the freedom that we enter into. You know, folks, I love it because it just says here in this wee passage that they praised God because of me. But in Acts 9, it explains it a bit better, and it says, then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of great peace. Because of Paul, it was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, and here's the key bit, living in the fear of the Lord. Living in the fear of the Lord. You know, this church, it just said in Acts 8, verse 1, that this church had a great persecution broke out against it. It was being persecuted massively, Acts 8, verse 1. But now it says this, that it has been strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, growing in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. Folks, what Paul, by Paul's freedom, by who Paul was, by Paul's life, by Paul having been forgiven and set free, it caused other people not to fear those that wanted to kill them, but to fear the Lord. What does your life say? What does your life say to people around you? If your life's a bit like, I've got a tattoo and I hate myself, nobody is going to fear the Lord. The church is not going to grow in numbers. But if you have truly come and received the blood and the water, then Jesus, in John 8, says, I'll set you free and you will be free indeed. Folks, can I encourage you? Enter out into this wide open space. Don't settle for being stuck in the wheelchair all gathered up. You know, realize the freedom that you have in Jesus. Enter fully into it and become fully alive. I love Saint Irenaeus said, the glory of God is man fully alive. You want to glorify him? Get alive. There's nothing alive about living in fear of each other. There's everything alive when we live in the fear of the Lord. Will you stand with me? How am I doing for time? See, folks, this is my problem, right? That cannot be the serious time, can it? Oh, dear, we have got to speed up here. I am so sorry. Visitors, not normally this long. Not normally. It's always, the less I prepare, the longer the sermon. That is the thing. So blame Limerick. Blame Limerick. All right, folks, let's take a wee time just for one wee minute or two. She's stealing my notes. How dare you? Okay, here you go. Let's just take a wee quiet time before God. This is going to be very quick. And we're going to invite the prayer team forward. That'll be great. You just squeeze on past there, folks. Just come on up. Now, folks, let's just go to Arabia here for a second. Let's just stand before God. His Holy Spirit is present here. Thank you, Lord, for being with us. Just come close to every heart. Just minister to every single person here. And folks, just as we stand, let's just ask the Lord, have we received the blood yet? Have we been forgiven? Have we come to the cross and been rescued by Jesus? And, you know, it's not about what we do. We remember Paul was chosen from the mother's womb. So before he did anything, God wanted him. And he wants you. So if you received the blood yet, if you haven't, there's a lovely wee opportunity. These guys that we call the prayer ministry team, they'd gladly talk you through that. Or you'd be very welcome to speak to me if you're good and quick. All right? So have you received the blood yet? Let's just consider that before the Lord. And folks, there's not one person here that's too good or too bad for that. It's beautiful. It's a grace gift. It's just a wee gift we don't deserve. And secondly, for those of us that have received the blood and we're Christians, have you received the water yet? Have you entered fully into the life of God? The glory of God is man fully alive. Have you entered into that? If you're a person that does not feel in the slightest bit free, and your life, it still feels like you're carrying that old backpack full of rocks. There's freedom here for you guys. There's freedom. If there's some area of your life that you haven't yet got free in, maybe it fits in some of those categories. You know, Arabia, are you not yet free to, do you not yet feel free in the presence of God? Do you feel that in the presence of God it's just such a struggle? There's freedom there for you there. You know, secondly, have you got foes that you just feel so frightened of? There's even freedom for you in Damascus. There's you know, God does not want you to be afraid of anybody. He wants you to be free indeed. You know, in Jerusalem, do you feel free yet in the body of Christ? Do you feel free yet in the people of God? He wants you to be free there too. And finally, maybe there's some of us, and I just sensed this a little bit, there's some of us that really are struggling in our own biological families. And there's freedom there for you as well. Saul, Paul went back to Tarsus, and he applied the freedom there. Are you free yet? So folks, blood, water, let's just enter in fully to the freedom that God has for us. I'm going to pray, then we're going to worship, and please do feel free to come forward and receive some prayer. If the worship's too loud, don't worry. There'll be loads of time for prayer afterwards as well, so we can just take pause in that if we need to. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, there'd be a sense if we feared men that we couldn't step forward and receive ministry this morning. But Lord, I just pray for boldness for those that need to do this. And Lord, I pray that we would realize that there's a freedom here that we can finally become ourselves in you. There's a freedom in here that we could finally apply freedom. And there's a freedom here that we can finally glorify God. So Father, would you give courage to those that need the blood? Would you give courage to those that need the water? And Lord, let there be freedom in this place now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, let's be free. If we're going to stay in our seats, pews, let's worship him in freedom. If we know we need to just step forward and receive a wee bit of prayer and all that sort of stuff, let's step forward in freedom. Balcony, make that big walk. It'll be okay. Let's step forward in freedom, and let's just go for it in Jesus' name. There's freedom in this place. Amen.